One announcement I should have mentioned at the beginning was to draw your attention to the GB Week envelopes in the pews. There should be some in the pews. If there aren't, I'm sure we can provide you with some. This is a way that we reach out to girls and young women in our community. So it is part of our outreach, and it's a vital part of that outreach. We have a great team of leaders and girls who come along week by week to this. Even before the GB opened their doors, the registration fees and insurance and so on, I think I'm right in this, Margaret, it's about £900 or so. So it just doesn't happen. So this is a very practical and very easy way for us to support this outreach amongst girls in our community. And I do encourage you to give generously to our GB company. Can you turn with me to 2 Timothy in the Pew Bible? You'll find it on page 1195 of the Pew Bible, the passage which Andrew read for us. Second Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be looking at some of the verses in that passage. Timothy is Paul's protege. Paul is training him. Paul is mentoring him. Paul is encouraging him to be a leader. But to be a leader in a very difficult context. Timothy is living and working in Ephesus, which is in modern Turkey. Well, if you go there, you can still see the remains of that city. Ephesus was a place that was filled with the worship of the goddess Diana or Artemis. And there was a massive temple that dominated the city. And it didn't just dominate the city in terms of its landscape. The worship of this goddess dominated the city in every way. Every part of life and work in that city was somehow overshadowed by this worship of the goddess Diana. So it was a difficult place to then say, no, we don't worship Diana, we worship God. And yet, that's what Timothy is called to do. So Christians are under great pressure in this place. The pressure around them is to just be like everyone else, just to toe the line. Romans would say, be conformed to the world around you, or squeezed into the mold of the world around you. Just become like everyone else. Don't stand out. So Christians in that situation, in that context, find life quite difficult. They faced a lot of difficulties. They experienced rejection. They were treated unfairly simply because they were Christians. So to live in Ephesus as a Christian was a difficult thing. To be a Christian leader in Ephesus was a very difficult thing. To stand out, to be different, to have different values was difficult. And yet that's where Timothy is called. And not only is it difficult in that context, but Timothy's mentor, Paul, is now in prison in Rome. And you can imagine how people would imagine being associated with him. Imagine being linked with that Paul when he's in prison in Rome, and the tongues would wag. So it was difficult for Timothy in this place. But that's where Timothy is called to serve God. That's where he's called to live for Christ. That's where he's called also to help other people do just that, and it's not easy. As you read through some of the other letters that Paul writes to the early church, 1 Corinthians, you find that one of Timothy's problems is that he just lacks confidence. He's just not confident to speak out. He lacks confidence. Now, that's not great when you're under pressure. When people around you are pushing you and shoving you and telling you what you should believe and how you should behave, and you don't really have that confidence, it's hard to stand firm. Perhaps Well, perhaps Timothy's not the obvious choice of leader. If you're choosing a leader, you want someone who's going to be firm and bold and courageous. Maybe God got it wrong. Maybe Timothy wasn't the right one for that place. But then that's the way God seems to work. Go way back into the Old Testament, and God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let God's people go. And Moses simply replies and said, "Lord, I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Don't ask me to speak." And yet he's the one that God does ask to go to Pharaoh to speak, and God's people are set free. Not the obvious choice. Or maybe when you go through to the New Testament, you find Peter, this guy who is just hot-headed and impetuous, who just says the first thing comes into his head, doesn't really think it through all the time, and he's the one that God uses in the early church. Sometimes we look and we wonder, is what you're doing right, God? Is Timothy the right person for Ephesus? So Paul writes to encourage and to help Timothy, and his words are for our encouragement and our help also. I'm going to look at a few of them from this passage. Verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6 simply says, "Fan into flame the gift of God." Fan into flame the gift of God. It recognizes what the Bible teaches is that everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ is given at least one gift to be used in the service of God. And Paul says, "Timothy, you have this gift. Fan it into flame." It's not given fully developed. It's something that must be nurtured. It's something that must grow and mature. But Paul says to him, "Timothy, you have this gift. Fan it into flame. You've been given the gift that you need. Fan it into flame, Timothy. You've got a gift. Use it. Develop it." Then verse 7, Paul says, "God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Now, these are words for Timothy. Timothy, who lacks confidence. Timothy, God has given you a spirit not of being timid and shy, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. That's how you are to live and to act in Ephesus, Timothy. With power, with love, with self-discipline. And why can you do these things? Well, verse 8, so that you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed to testify about our Lord. God has saved us, verse 9. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we are or have done, but because of his purpose and his grace. So here are the things that Paul points out to Timothy. You've been given a gift, fan it into flame. The spirit that God has put in you is not a spirit to keep you timid and shy and hidden away and lacking in confidence. Here's the spirit which will allow you to work for God with power and love and self-discipline. Don't be ashamed. For God has saved you, called you to live this holy life. Not because of you, Timothy, but because of his grace, his purposes. And Timothy was to find out that actually what was really important was not so much what he was doing and what he could do. What was really important was what God had done in Timothy and what God was continuing to do in and through him. It's about what God was doing. And that's the same through Scripture. Moses may not have been the most gifted speaker around. He may not have been a skilled diplomat to talk to Pharaoh, but he's the one that God chose and God used, and God moved. Peter may not have been the obvious choice as a leader, and yet God used him powerfully in the early church. Timothy, you may be lacking in confidence, But God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed. Get on and live that holy life to which you've been called. Now, we may not be called to lead like Timothy. But again, we've all been given gifts. Gifts to honor God, gifts to encourage each other as his people. How do we use those gifts? What's the Spirit doing within us? Just giving us gifts and then withdrawing and looking to see how we get on? Or is the Holy Spirit still at work in us? Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the scripture in the Message simply translates that verse and says, God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold, loving, and sensible. Doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts. God has given us gifts to use. And it's not about you or me. It's about God's gift. It's about his Holy Spirit working in you powerfully. One of the lovely things about this congregation is to be able to look around and see people who powerfully use the gifts that God has given to them. Some of those gifts may be obvious here on a Sunday morning at the front. Some of them may be to do with technology and the wonders of that. Some of them may be to do with the hospitality of just providing a cup of coffee and a biscuit. Some of it may be to do with working with our children and young people. In so many ways, people powerfully use the gifts that God has given to them. And they're fanning into flames those gifts. God is at work using those gifts. They're powerful. When we stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about God and his honor and how we use those gifts, then God works powerfully. It's the same for Moses. When Moses just forgot about the fact that he wasn't a speaker, a diplomat, God used him powerfully. Peter, when Peter got over just being impetuous and hot-headed and saying what he thinks, God uses him powerfully. Timothy, you may be shy and lack in confidence, but God will use you powerfully. God will use us powerfully when we remember, you know, this verse we've been talking about over these last weeks, this, he must become greater, I must become less. It's not about us. It's about him and the gifts he's given to us and the work of his Holy Spirit in us. We're to use these gifts in the power that he gives us, in the love that he gives us. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, when you read about the spiritual gifts that God has given us, chapters 12 and 14 are about those gifts. And they describe some of the gifts that God has given to us. But sandwiched in between those two chapters is chapter 13, which is about love. I don't know how you eat a custard cream or a bourbon biscuit. I should have brought one with me. Some people can manage to nibble the biscuit off it and leave the filling in the middle. Other very clever people can manage to get the filling out of the middle without damaging the biscuit. How they do it, I'm not quite sure. But I think the way you're probably meant to eat it is just bite through the whole thing. Sometimes we treat those chapters in 1 Corinthians like that custard cream, and we try to take the filling out of the middle and not eat the biscuit. Or we try to look at the biscuits and not eat the filling in the middle. Paul says to Timothy, the gifts you have, use them in love. Use them in love. That Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that we can have all the gifts under the sun. We can have every gift that's going, but if we do not use them in love, they're nothing. Timothy, God has given you a spirit of power and of love. And when those gifts that God gives to us are used in love, again, great things happen. Powerful, loving, and sensible, or self-disciplined. We're not called to be obnoxious in our use of gifts. And sometimes, sadly, in the church, we have done that. We have used our gifts to put other people down. We have used the gifts that God has graciously given to us to promote ourselves and put everybody else down. Timothy's called to guard the good deposit that was entrusted to him with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, to be sensible, to be self-disciplined in how we use these gifts. God has saved us in Jesus Christ and called us to this holy life. That's verse 9. Saved us, called us to a holy life. We don't have to live in Ephesus. Where you are now is where God has called you to be. Saved you and called you to live a holy life. And the Spirit is at work in you, allowing you to do that powerfully, to live that holy life powerfully so that the world around notices. Allowing you to use your gifts in a loving way so that the world around experiences that. Allowing you to be self-disciplined and sensible so that the world is not put off by you. The work of the Spirit in us is guiding us into all truth, leading us always back to the very grace of God. Not about us, it's about God's grace. It's not about what we can do, it's about what He does in us and through us. It's about Jesus being greater and us being less. We're called to use our gifts powerfully in love, with self-discipline, for the glory of God. So this morning, what I want us to think about is simply, what gift has God given to you? What gift has God given to you? And how are you using that gift? Is God, by His Spirit, allowing you to use that gift powerfully, lovingly, sensibly in His service? Or maybe, like Timothy, you need to be encouraged to fan it into flame. What gift has God given to you? How are you using that gift? Let's pray together. Father, you are the God of all grace, the God who has an overriding purpose for us and for this world. And so we bow before you. Forgive us, Lord, when we let ourselves and our own ego get in the way of what you would do. And by your Spirit, set us free to serve and to love you as you call us to. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.